Are you ready?
It's Afternoons with OMF.
This is the year to get New England.
What? I'm sorry.
This will be the first time that you coach against one of your former players. It'll just be odd to see
it'll be the Patriots against the Titans. That's what it'll be.
The first player turned head coach that you've had to go against?
Yeah, I think it is.
Suck on it.
Well. Did anybody notice who really struggled for Tennessee?
When I say the words Malcolm go, what does that mean to you?
Malcolm Butler is an utter disaster.
I don't know. They gave up on me.
When Belichick walks into Patriot Place today, I hope he walks in like Conor McGregor in an octagon.
There's two things I really like to do, and that's whoop ass and look good.
Right now.
I mean, come on, fellas.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
Hi, back here on OMF at 617-779-7937. As we said, Teddy Bruschi will join us here in about 10 minutes. He's on ESPN right now. Chris Gasper has done it again.
What do you mean?
He's brilliant.
Somebody land on the
brilliant
moon?
Writer. Except I have a problem. I'm looking at the date of the story. It says at the top of the story, November 7th, 2018.
That's today.
That would be today.
Yeah,
and it's interesting because some people, a couple people here in the studio, were saying this back on, what was it, February 7th or something like that.
You're not going to fall for the banana and the tailpipe?
Well, you were
could be the Chris
saying
little,
yesterday.
So this is typical Gasper, right? He bounces back and he, 10 months later,
I would say he's just not, but I would say he's one day late.
Okay.
Because this was a discussion that everyone had yesterday. Could have wrote it
so
after that
so
Monday
timely.
Night football
for him.
Game.
For him, it's timely.
No, it's not.
No, for him, it's timely.
Yeah, this one's okay.
Well, this is Lou giving him the benefit of the doubt.
Here's it's a dumb article. He agrees with you two, but it's a dumb take.
Here's his first line. Bill Belichick, right again. Mm-hmm. 9 months later, the most confounding and scrutinized decision of Belichick's glorious tenure as Patriots coach, the benching of Malcolm Butler in Super Bowl 52, while the Philadelphia Eagles took a blowtorch to the New England defense, looks better and better.
No, it doesn't.
Especially as the Patriots prepare for a reunion with the excommunicated cornerback Sunday in Nashville. He's got a AP guy on the side talking about the play of Malcolm Butler. That's a picture. Has some in Nashville wondering whether he should be benched again. So then he goes on, he talks about his struggles and whatever. But what's your problem with this, Lou? He's basically saying
you're doing what you guys
that Bill
doing
made
yesterday.
The right decision. Wait a minute. He and I did it the day after the Super Bowl.
No, here's the thing.
There was a reason.
There's two decisions. One, he was right. One, he was wrong. Not re-signing him was right. I never debated that. I mean, I wouldn't have given him that money. He moved on. After the way you saw him play the body work all year long, he was right. Not playing him in the Super Bowl is a different discussion. After watching what happened in the first half, after watching what happened maybe early in his third quarter, never sitting there thinking, you know what, I think I'd rather put him out there than Jonathan Batamosi.
Who's no longer with the team.
Okay, fine. So he was
and
smart.
Jordan Richards.
So was he smart
no,
getting,
no
rid,
longer,
of, was
no
he smart
longer
getting rid of Batamosi?
Yeah.
All right, why didn't he play him? Why did he play him then?
Well, because he had to, because he was better than what Malcolm
okay.
Butler was going to give
why, you. Why was he better than what Malcolm Butler gave you?
Because Malcolm
you
just, Butler could only play
believe,
one position.
Because you believe Bill had to be right because he played Batamosi over Malcolm Butler? That was a wrong move.
No.
The fact that he never got into that game was stupid. Him letting him go for all that kind of money was smart.
See, I would say
there's
this.
There's two different decisions here.
Right. There are two different decisions. And I think what Gasper's doing is he is now agreeing with Belichick in both of those decisions. You're still holding on to it.
To one of them.
But the difference is Gasper has some evidence right now that Malcolm Butler, since he left the Patriots, has totally sucked.
That's just bad evidence.
It's not
how,
bad
what
evidence.
He's doing
he
with
sucked.
Another football team? He has
yeah.
sucked this year.
He sucked
again,
awful.
I'll bring it up again. Okay, Nate Solder. Why'd he play left
oh,
tackle?
Oh, Jesus. He's not even close to being the same.
He hasn't
he's
been very good at all for
no,
the
he
Giants.
Hasn't.
So why
he
is he playing?
He hasn't. But
and are we missing yeah. the fact? I mean, you guys don't believe the report. I believe that there was an offer, that they made an offer to Malcolm Butler, and he turned it down.
When?
Last year.
At the end of the season?
No, at the beginning of the season.
Oh, at the beginning of last year.
Yeah, they lowballed him.
Maybe, yeah, they lowballed
him. They gave him a John Lester contract.
Yeah, they do that to
5 years, 60? You don't believe 5 years, 60?
No, I do not.
Was it 6 years, 60?
They do that to a lot of guys.
5 years, 60 million?
6 years, 66 is what Field Yates said. 25 guaranteed.
Six.
That the Patriots offered him? No way.
So, okay, so you don't believe Field Yates?
No, I do not.
Do I have to believe
I believe Chris Gasper.
No, but I can choose to believe him.
I believe Chris Gasper.
I believe Chris Gasper.
Yes. I think that Malcolm Butler.
I think 10 months.
I feel like he's doing a lot of investigative reporting, and therefore he's got to give you your answer later.
So do they offer him, say, 9 in your mind?
I think they offered him a respectable number, but wasn't even close to being what he thought he was worth. We're talking, premier elite, like what Gilmore got. I believe he thought he deserved Gilmore money. He wasn't going to get Gilmore money.
So they made an offer. Why would they make an offer if they think he sucks?
Well, because they just like you say with all your other free agents, right? I like you at this number, but I hate you at the other one.
Well, wait a minute.
At $4, $5 million a year, I love you. But at 15, no.
Well, the difference was they were offering it to him before that last season began. By the end of the season, certainly during the playoffs, even Cowherd's picked up on this. If you look at how bad he was in the playoffs, his game had totally deteriorated. I don't know. Maybe the kid's sensitive. Maybe he looked at cashing in the offseason. He got nervous. He had difficulty playing out there. But there was a reason he didn't play. And it wasn't a discipline thing outside or off the field. It was on the field, and it was a game plan.
I don't believe it.
So I do believe it when you think about it. So why didn't he play then, right? So I'm taking out – I'm thinking this is purely performance-based. This had nothing to do with any injury. This had nothing to do with any sickness, staying out late, any disciplinary actions.
Going to a concert, none of that had anything to do
with performance, right?
Yep.
So if he's playing as a corner and all he does is play corner – and he's not involved in any of the substitutions as far as nickel, dime, and slot, and this, whatever you want to call it, then he would never go into the game. So, because what would be the alternative? Hey, I know you haven't practiced this. I know you don't know the rules as a slot, as a fourth corner. But, you know, go ahead and go in because you're just an athlete. Like, he only
because
knows one position.
You would never ask
a wide receiver to go ahead and play the Y. Listen, I know you can catch, so you should be able to play tight end. Well, I'm only going to give you the tight end route.
I've never done it before. At some point, it's not working. Is it worth sitting there saying, okay, let's put Malcolm back in the outside and put Roe back in the slot where she's been? Should we try that for, I don't know, one drive to see if we can stop this team? Because nothing's working. What else can I do? Butler sitting in the sidelines. He's like, what else can I do? He's got like his hand over Butler's face. I got nothing else to do. I got to go with Bademosi because I don't see anyone else in the sideline that can help me. Butler's got his hand up. He's like, I don't see anybody that can help me because I could put Roe back in the slot and put him out there. But you know what? No, I'm going to put Bademosi in the game. Just for a handful. One drive.
Different position.
What's a different position?
He got all his recognition.
What's a different position? He's a corner, right?
Who?
Bademosi.
Right.
Okay, so what's a different position? Malcolm's a corner.
Yeah, but Roe was not a problem. So you were taking somebody out that wasn't a problem.
Okay, Bademosi's a big problem.
And you're looking at Gilmore and Roe and you're sitting there going, those aren't the problems.
You know what the problem was?
The problem was the slot.
You know what the problem was? Your third corner. Okay, and you got one on the sideline that you played 98% of the time. You couldn't put Roe in the slot.
So if he's not doing
and
that.
And have your three best corners playing? How do you not do that in the third and fourth quarter for a drive?
Only reason why you feel like that alternative is worse than what you got going. Even though you gave up 500-plus total yards to this team, you're still – is it just stubborn pride?
Hold on, is that what it is?
So you want to win the Super Bowl.
No.
So you're willing to do that. Let pride dictate your decision.
It was something he did off the field, and he wasn't going to play.
I don't believe it. Then why suit up? Why be on special teams?
With what you were watching,
if you have the courage of your convictions, find him, discipline him, and screw the Super Bowl.
The king of adjustments. After watching what you're watching, you don't even try it for a drive.
I think that he should have played at least for a hot minute.
Okay, so I ask you, why didn't he?
Because I've told you a hundred times. I've told you a hundred times. Not doing it again.
Should have.
Yeah, I think they should.
If they didn't,
so if Roe was playing the corner, and so it's right and lefty, right, or whatever, right, and then your first guy off the bench is Bademosi.
How are you getting in the game?
How are you getting in the game?
Once you realize Bademosi sucks.
He didn't play on the outside, though. Bademosi didn't play on the outside.
No, I'm not saying he played the slot. Catch up. What are you talking about? Roe goes to the slot.
They're not doing that because they like Roe on the outside. Those are big outside receivers.
They did it all year.
But they're playing. They're game planning for that game and for those receivers. They were big receivers. You're going to put those two guys on the outside. Butler's a little guy. All right?
At what point do your best football players play?
Okay.
At what point do your best football players play?
I hate to say it because it wasn't arrogance on Belichick's part.
In his mind,
Malcolm Butler was not one of the best players. And guess what? He's apparently right, because Butler right now is one of the worst corners, if not the worst corner in the league.
The ironic thing,
where's Bademosi right this year?
The ironic thing with this whole Butler situation, The only ironic thing is the fact that
how good is he?
Malcolm Butler got into the
better
league.
Better than Butler.
Malcolm Butler got in the league.
You just don't even know.
Because
just
somebody else was
it.
Playing like crap. He got into that Seattle game because, I don't even forgot who it was. He got into that game because they had no other resources. They had nobody. No one could stop him, the Seattle Seahawks offense. So he gets in there. He makes an unbelievable play. You would think that they would kind of remember that situation and how, even if you don't think that he was physically good enough to do it or smart enough or whatever, maybe he was mentally disturbed at the time, they would at least said, you know what? We've seen this movie before. Let's just see what happens. I am convinced. Like, I don't get it why they don't put him in, even just for a play or two, just for as an energy boost, to go make a tackle.
It'll never make sense. I'm sorry.
I think it makes a lot more sense when you see how the kid plays right now, Lou.
Certainly
made sense to Chris Gasper. He wrote a whole article. Well, Belichick is right.
You guys feel good. You agree with Chris
decision.
Gasper.
Matter of fact,
Don't throw that
in our face.
No, that's good. You guys are in the same
Don't throw that in our face. We're trying to make it based on the point. He even admits that he thought
ask
the Patriots
Teddy.
Were making a mistake.
You can ask Teddy.
Yeah.
Teddy, why did it mount? Because I don't think we ever asked him, did we?
I got him. Don't worry about it.
You go first.
I got him.
You stand on the sideline.
I'll say Lou wants to lead off with a tough question.
Yep.
He asked Belichick. Let's see if you slap him down the same way Belichick slapped him down with this one. Teddy Bruschi, coming up next.
OMF. We return to more of Ordway, Marloni, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI. And now on OMF.
What Teddy did, he had a great passion for it. Always working hard.
Patriots Hall of Famer and New England legend.
Stop tweeting and get in your playbook.
Three-time Super Bowl champ. The best football analyst anywhere on the Boston airwaves.
It is intercepted by Teddy Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi has done it again.
Full tilt, full time.
Our guy Teddy Bruschi being brought to you by Yingling All-American Game Day Brew and by Lowell 5. Mr. Bruschi, how are you?
Oh, how we doing?
Doing
What's
great.
Up, Teddy?
So, normally
what
I...
Oh, yay!
We're just going to talk amongst ourselves. You guys just hang out on the sideline.
Normally, I would throw the first question out to you. But Lou's been holding on to this question now for about 9, 10 months.
Teddy, I'm still searching for answers, so I'm wondering if you could help me out. Because now it's Tennessee week, right? So Malcolm Butler's in the house, okay? So
yeah.
I don't fault them for moving on and paying him. I still look at the Super Bowl. I look at Bill Belichick, the king of adjustments, walking in at halftime at some point in the third quarter, maybe in the fourth quarter. And he never sat there and said, man, you know what? Let me try this Butler guy in there for one drive. Can you give me any kind of reasoning why this man doesn't play one drive in the Super Bowl where the defense couldn't stop anybody?
Oh, that's a good one.
Because I'm still having problems. Hey, I'm searching for answers.
Hey, Teddy, first time you've heard it?
Yeah. Hey, Lou, I'm with you. I mean, if anything, any type of reasoning you had sort of going into the game why he didn't start after the half, I can see where you're coming from. Why not even a series, see what he can do, match him up against somebody? It's something I wonder, too. It's something I've come to the grips of. I don't think I'm ever going to get an answer of. Although I've tried to search for one and try to get one, I cannot get one.
So do you think it was game plan? Or because I still believe this, something had to happen to get this guy not to play in the Super Bowl off the field, something.
No, it's either that or a certain conclusion was made, because once Bill makes conclusion on something during that week regarding the game plan, you know, that's what it's going to be in terms of you blew a certain amount of adjustments throughout the week or you missed this amount of time during the week. I can see what these other guys will do against it compared to how you maybe didn't do so well against it. That type of information he processes and then says, no, the answer's no. So him getting past that, even at halftime, he didn't.
Yeah, I get it too. So like, we made our decision. This is the king of adjustments, right? You know, in-game adjustments, not just halftime adjustments, but making adjustments throughout the game. So if you have Gilmore on one side, Rowland another, then here comes Bademosi, right? You would assume, all right, fine, okay, this situation isn't working. Let's mix it up a little bit. So put Rowe back into the slot and then put Butler at the corner position. I mean, why not something like that? Was it still the same analysis? Like, this is what we're doing regardless of what happens, even though Butler came into this league against Seattle being an adjustment because someone else was getting smoked?
Yeah, not even that. But I mean, you could name a bunch of other options, Christian, in terms of put him here on this guy, put him in on nickel, put him in dime, put him in certain situations. Or maybe there's one way that we can make an adjustment to get, you know, some type of, you know, improved coverage anywhere. So, I mean, this is second guessing, you know, a Super Bowl where, of course, the Patriots didn't win, but I don't know what it was. I don't think we'll ever get an answer in terms of Bill's motivations on it. I mean, if that's what he felt in terms of winning the game was, that's all you're ever going to get.
Okay. So we fast forward it now to November 11th. That's coming up in this Sunday. These two teams are facing each other. Malcolm Butler has been awful all season long, Teddy. Awful. And you know what Bill does. He looks at somebody and says, that's what we're going to exploit. Why wouldn't you exploit Malcolm Butler? Amari Cooper did it. Allen Hurns did it. Receivers have done it week in and week out. Is that the guy that they pick apart?
It also depends on how Dean Pease and Vrabes, how they decide. Do they decide to protect him a certain way?
Right.
I mean, will he always have help? I mean, or if you recognize if he's matched on someone, if Malcolm's matched up on Josh Gordon and Tom sees that, I think he may go there often. I can understand Malcolm's motivation to play well in this game, and I'm sure Vrabes is in his ear about how to properly approach it from the mental aspect. But right now, I mean, the Patriots, Malcolm's got to be looking at it as the Patriots were right in terms of what they did, in terms of not giving him the big contract, letting him move on because of the way he's looked, you know, recently, especially against the Dallas Cowboys. So his motivation to go out there and show out against his old team must be there. But absolutely, Glenn, I mean, if you got a guy that's struggling and you think you can exploit, I mean, you're gonna try to attack.
So what about Vrabel, right? So Vrabel's getting a lot of attention. You know, former player, like really the first former player turned head coach to go against Bill. Give me your best Mike Vrabel story as it relates to Bill Belichick.
As it relates to Bill Belichick, I mean, even I'll throw in other coaches in there too. He was just never shy about speaking his mind, calling you out as a player, calling a coach out during practice, during a game. I remember once we had a game and it was in hand, and Charlie Weiss was the offensive coordinator, and they were throwing the football, and we're sitting down there on the bench as linebackers, and he says, "Bru, can you believe what they're doing now? Why are we throwing the football? Why aren't we running?" So he starts yelling at Charlie Weiss from the sideline. Bill's right there. Charlie's right there. What the boo are we yelling at him about running the football? And I'm looking at him like, man, what is – yeah, run the football. I start agreeing with him, so it's this big argument with Charlie and Bill. We'll call the plays. You play. Sit back there. Vrabe's getting right into it with him. Those type of arguments were normal. Those were therapeutic. Those happened often. That's why I'm so excited about watching this guy coach, because, of course, him being a good friend and seeing his personality come through, especially against that win, that Dallas Cowboys, when they won, they get down, they turn the ball over a couple times. He doesn't look like he's panicking. He's just sitting there. The team doesn't panic, and all of a sudden they get through it, and it's 7-7, and it's a new football game. That was vintage Vrabel, in my opinion, arguing, making the just confrontation is a part of who he is.
Now, Bill was telling us how – I was wondering, I don't know if Bill ever let you play Ed Reed in practice, but it seems like he did with Mike, and he had a lot of fun with it. Do you remember those days and him and Brady going at it?
I actually do. Yeah, now that you brought that up, Vrabel playing scout team and doing whatever he wanted in terms – because he could anticipate like route combinations from seeing the whole field, and he would play Ed Reed and just go to a certain spot based on where he thought the ball was going to go, which is what Ed Reed did a lot. I mean, the coaches really respected Ed. So if there was anybody that got into it with Tom the most, it was probably Vrabes.
So Vrabel has coached these games. He's done a pretty decent job. He's taken some huge risks, and people certainly, his team seems to enjoy it. How do you think he will be come Sunday dealing with Bill Belichick. It's one thing about going up against these other coaches in the league. He's been in this den here with Belichick. Does he do things a little bit differently because he kind of gets a sense of where Bill's coming from?
I think in terms of, like, what are they thinking on the other side, he would definitely have that type of anticipation or instinct, very similar to Matt Patricia in terms of what he thinks they're going to do, how he would plan against our defense, and then him with also Dean Pease over there. This is probably where they're going to attack, so this is what we should be ready for. You know, also on the other side, how to properly game plan against the New England Patriot defense in terms of the weaknesses that they might have, in terms of knowing the scheme really well. So he does have knowledge that a lot of other, you know, coaches don't have. I think it's different that, you know, he was a former player and not a former assistant coach, because sometimes, like when Josh McDaniels played against the Patriots when he was head coach for the Denver Broncos, and he was celebrating like it was the Super Bowl after they beat him, and he's pumping his fists in the air and all this stuff. So you could see all the anticipation and how much it meant to him. I really just think, you know, Rabes is going to see this as, you know, basically just another game against a good opponent. I think that he's able to step outside of that and not be any type of intimidated in terms of who he's playing, who the quarterback is, or who the head coach is.
So, you know, I look at this team, and I think the Tennessee Titans, and based on what they've done recently, I think they can compete with the Patriots most definitely. But what do you think their chances are to actually win?
I think they've got a good chance to pull off an upset. I mean, I wouldn't pick them to win, but an upset is possible. It's a lot different than, you know, me not being able to tell you how the Buffalo Bills would beat the New England Patriots or anything like that, because, I mean, I'd utilize Deion Lewis greatly in terms of the pass game. I mean, catch him off guard by giving him the football. Anything in the flat with Deion would get them an easy, you know, second and two situation in terms of first down, 8 yard completion, or an 8 yard, you know, chunk of to keep everything moving positively along the course of the down. So Deion Lewis, I think, would be big. I'd utilize Marcus Mariota as a runner. That's always given the Patriots problems when they focus on taking care of this guy and that guy and this guy stopping the run, but then you got a quarterback after they've done all of that that just takes off for it and is able to scramble for a few key first downs, to maybe especially on a third down. Defensively, I just think it'll be hard for them to stop the Patriots from scoring points. And I think Josh Gordon, his continued development makes that even more tough, because as he starts to almost turn that triangle of trust into a square, to add an extra element, if you will, instead of Edelman, White, Gronkowski, and now Gordon's in there too. Of course, if Gronkowski comes back healthy, of course. But that's just so important for the success of scoring points for this offense. I think it can happen. I've only seen the development. I am cheering for him that he continues to show he can be reliable for this offense, because he makes it that much better.
Teddy, I know they got a bye week next week, and if you're healthy, you play football. But with Gronk's back, like, how careful would you be with this guy with the bye week coming up?
Well, they've got more knowledge than we do, yeah, too, in terms of how it is and how. I mean, I remember a play back in Buffalo when they were playing, and he got up, and it looked like, oof, that just doesn't look right.
Right.
So to get him right for the stretch run would be a right thing to do. Yes. And if I'm believing in what I'm saying in terms of them scoring points with Josh Gordon, to use that game plan without Gronkowski, how much more time you can give him would be good. Because, I mean, this isn't about, you know, winning the division or anything like that. This is about, you know, AFC championship when it comes around, and you having everybody there available, because I believe the goal is to get to the Final Four. I know the World Championship is the goal, but I just believe that anything can happen in those championship games where you got to have everything right, everything healthy, do what you got to do to have Gronkowski there.
All right, Teddy, we get to the bye week next week. We'll talk to you next week. Have a good one.
All right, guys.
Teddy Bruschi joining us right here on OMF.
The Drive Home is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Town Fair Tire sells every name brand at the guaranteed lowest price. And Town Fair offers more free services than any other tire dealer. For the best prices on tires, nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Now back to Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Right, back here on OMF, Teddy Bruschi just answered, I thought, the entire Malcolm Butler question perfectly, right? He gave you
still got nothing.
Oh, we got nothing.
He agrees with me.
It's our grassy knoll.
Can I guarantee you this one, Christian? Write this one down.
He agrees.
If Malcolm Butler goes out and plays a good game.
Plays
a good game on Sunday.
If Malcolm Butler plays a good game on Sunday.
Keep notes.
Shorthand?
If he plays well, let's say he comes up with a big pick in the course of the game, and Tennessee wins the game. Do you think the people like Lou Maloney and others will be sitting here on Monday going, I told you, should have played him in the Super Bowl? And what evidence will they be using? They'll be using this
head
game.
Head to head.
How do you not use the evidence Malcolm Butler is completely sucked
if I was
this year?
To do that, okay, if he has a great game and I came out and said, that's why he should have played, I'd be doing the same thing that you people are doing right now.
Just using
basing his
evidence.
Play this year. And justifying not playing in the Super Bowl.
All right, so if you listen to all the information.
His play this year justifies not giving him an extension and paying the dollar that Tennessee did. There's two decisions that were made. One, not to bring him back. Bill, good move. Two, not playing him in the Super Bowl. Bill, never will I ever, ever understand it, ever, if I make that clear, ever understand why he did not go in the third quarter or ever why he didn't go in the fourth quarter, ever, ever, ever. Understand why that happened.
And it's kind of contradictory to even what Teddy said. On one hand, you're saying, all right, Bill's a man of conviction, right? He made a conclusion. He had his analysis.
Like he was calling him stubborn.
Basically. So you tell me, he just said, you know what, forget it. But at the same time, in Seattle, he had a guy in Malcolm Butler who was sporadically played here and there and decided, like, this was a better option, right? Gave him a chance and said, you know what, let's see what happens. And he had no long track record of success. You were betting on it that he would just be a better athlete at that point in time.
And that was in the middle of the game when Kyle Arrington sucked.
That's who it is, okay? Kyle Arrington.
Yeah, he sucked. And so he put him in the middle of the game. And so why is it, could it be the same exact type of situation when you're talking about the Super Bowl? And remember, leading up to it, he was late getting there.
What would the exact situation be in this Super Bowl?
That he felt somebody else could do a better job, that right. Eric Rowe could do a better job.
But
that's what he felt.
Jonathan Batamosi was not.
Yeah, but you keep on going back to the Batamosi thing.
No. Nate Solder's his go-to name. Nate Solder's his go-to name.
No, I'm just saying.
He says Nate Solder.
Go with three corners. You play your three best corners in a damn Super Bowl. You don't just play Batamosi out of nowhere.
You're thinking as a layperson. So when the substitutions work, it's, all right, you're only playing corner.
Right.
That's it. The only way you're getting in that game is if Gilmore gets hurt or Eric Rowe got hurt. They didn't get hurt. Remember who got it? Patrick Chung got hurt. So they were subbing in guys.
Jordan Richards
that were
came
probably
in.
Yeah, Jordan Richards came in.
Right.
So you were subbing in guys
Bruce
that
sucks.
So why'd they put
still
Jordan
does.
Richards in?
He's in
hey,
Atlanta.
Hey, you know what, Malcolm Butler, you're a better athlete than Jordan Richards. Yeah, they don't play the same position. So he was taking the place of that
safety.
Linebacker spot. Okay, but still you're still covering. Who do you think's the better tackler, Jordan Richards or Malcolm Butler? Well, I'll take my chance.
I don't have
Malcolm
a problem
Butler.
With talking about, you know, choosing the safety over the corner. I got a problem with choosing the corner over the corner. That's all.
Yep. And it was the only point that I think is that I would say has some credence to it. And that is, well, why don't you move Rowe into the slot? Because he did play slot. Okay. Rowe's played some slot.
Right, and the answer to that question is?
I think because the outside receivers were big receivers. And he wanted to make sure he didn't want to put Butler on a big receiver. Butler has problems with big receivers. I think that was it. I mean,
I think there was a lot of things that went into it. But initially, it's like, listen, if Eric Rowe continued to play bad like he did like that first series, I would say he would have pulled him.
I do too.
Okay, but he didn't.
First two
and
series.
And he wasn't the issue.
He's shaky in the first two.
So, and I don't think the corners were necessarily the biggest problem. Like the linebacker stopping the run, major issue. Like a defensive lineman, everything was bad. You don't listen. One guy is not responsible for 538 yards of total offense. One guy is not.
I guess we'll never know.
And you know what? We never will.
The one thing I think...
You know, but eventually he'll write a book.
But there's a difference between saying, hey, go cover Alshon Jeffrey, right? How old is he? What's he, 6'4"? Right. How about Aguilar? Right. What's he?
Everybody's taller than Malcolm
Butler. Is he 6 feet?
Yeah, everybody's bigger than Malcolm Butler.
Okay, so Malcolm Butler.
Glenn's bigger than Malcolm Butler.
So Malcolm Butler never should have played all year long. The fact that he played 98% of the snaps all year long was just stupid then.
Wider than Malcolm Butler.
Why would he play 98% of the snaps? Because he only played his only short wide receivers in the NFL. God forbid, he never played against a guy that was 2 inches taller than him.
Lou, I think at this
all year long. I mean, can't handle a guy that's 6 feet?
I think at this.
Listen, you're taking out your anger on the wrong people. Like, we don't have the answers for you. Like, what do you. You asked Teddy. He said he didn't know.
You have answers. They're not the correct ones. They're the right ones. I don't like them.
Sorry, there is. Listen, my answer is just as good as yours.
No, it ain't.
Why not? Here's the one thing I'm convinced of. It was not a discipline action. He didn't do something off the field that you would have heard that by now. We would have gotten that by now. There are too many people involved in stuff like that.
I don't know about that.
Oh, we would have heard it by now.
Just like we would have heard McNally write a book or Jastrzemski write a book.
How is that guy not writing a book?
Why? Because of hush money. Okay? Why? Why have we not heard from Malcolm Butler?
It's running one of the craft.
He signed the contract not to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be quiet and you can go sign your money.
He may be running a craft paper plant in Israel right now.
So there's got to be a disgruntled worker / coach somewhere, right?
Somewhere.
There's got to be.
I think you would have known. I think you would have known.
How's your boy Jastrzemski feeling now?
I've been.
How's he feeling right now?
Who?
Jastrzemski.
He's got a job. He's working.
But is he happy?
When I saw him, not necessarily. Oh, no, he was not.
Right, so why haven't we heard from him?
So if Belichick,
well, he doesn't know anything about Malcolm Butler.
So if Belichick exploits.
What his situation? Because
they all go to like a special island.
Because they sign contracts, hush money. You're not allowed to talk about what goes on in the building.
There you go.
You're watching too many movies. That's your problem.
That TV show Lost. That's probably one of your favorites.
Yeah, maybe. So if on Sunday.
I don't. You know what? And we're not taking any of these calls, by the way, because of the same topics that they were in
February.
In February. They're the same damn topics.
I can just replay
the
show we did back in February.
I mean, really. Can we just leave now
go home
and just do the same thing?
Well, why can't we expand it to what you're going to see on Sunday? So. I've already heard this. People think that Belichick is purposely going to try to destroy Malcolm Butler just to make his point from back in February and why he didn't play it.
Teddy said he thought he was just being stubborn.
Well, he is stubborn. He's a stubborn guy.
So
we
I think he's being stubborn. You got all pissy at me, but you didn't get pissy at Teddy.
No, we were looking for closure. You didn't get it.
Listen, you had a good Monday with Bill.
The fact is that he
nice hug at the end. Just live with it and live for next Monday.
Teddy, okay? Agree with me.
Just live to next Monday.
I also think Teddy said there was going to be an upset. I don't know how you heard him.
He said they could. Said they could win.
Yes, they can upset.
Boy, I think Tennessee's got. No shot at all in this one. Certainly very little. I shouldn't say no shot because, you know, in any given Sunday. But I think I get very little. But let's say.
Oh, he's got. If he's a motivator at all, if he's got any bit in him, he's got so much material. He's got so many guys on that team that have a lot to prove that just may have not necessarily an axe to grind, but, you know, we'll show you Butler, Klein, Pease, Logan, Deion Lewis. I mean, Vrabel himself. So this reminds me of like a Jet week, right? When I was playing with the Patriots, like the first year I got there, I was like, why does everybody hate the Jets? Like, why is everybody so uptight? Why are we in pads on a Friday? It doesn't make any sense.
Why is Vrabel in goal line?
That came later on that year. Why is the linebacker? Who's hurt?
Oh yeah.
Oh god, that's
Bill hates. Bill hates the Jets. Hates the Jets.
So if you're talking about players like vibing off their coach, like this is the week. Like this is college atmosphere practice in the pros right now.
So, but like anything else though, Christian, how do guys react when they want to do that? Some guys get, you know, too jacked up and they can't handle it. So here's a kid in Malcolm Butler that has really struggled. Even in Nashville right now, they're sitting there saying he may be benched any day.
Maybe benched during the game.
His reps were cut back last week. Okay? They're using somebody else now. What's it, a Dory Johnson or whatever is getting...
Jackson
is getting an opportunity to play. And he's not playing as much.
Who is that?
USC.
He's in a situation now where does he calm down? Because if anything... The biggest problem he's having right now, he's overly aggressive. He's too pumped and too jacked out there.
Yeah, it seems like it seems like he's one of those guys that really, like, when it's not going right, it's like he can't fight his way out of it. right? He's so mentally affected by it that it just seems like he's just off, right? He's guessing wrong. Because if a cornerback is actually going to be honest with you, they'll tell you. They guess a lot. They guess. They gamble. And you know what? Sometimes, sometimes they hit, and other times, they get screwed. But when all those, they keep missing, like Craig Carlton, whatever the dude that just got nabbed, right? He's going to prison.
Yeah, 45 years.
This guy couldn't stop gambling. And they're sending his ass to prison, right? And so, same thing with cornerbacks, same thing with Malcolm Butler. I just think he's got, if he can string just like not only a couple plays together and then a couple games, then he could be a totally different player.
Yeah, but they may
but
have
just
to,
not happening
Teddy's right.
For him.
They may have to protect him this week.
Well, that's what I said when we started the show. You got to protect him, whether it's zone or whether it's like an extra person in his area.
Right.
So what do we need Teddy for?
Yeah, Craig Carton's problem wasn't just gambling. His problem was he was taking money with a fake ticket business. That's what he was doing. And then he was
took millions. Yeah. From hedge fund people to invest in some ticket scam.
Right.
And he used those millions to pay off his bookies,
except
and
not all
Vegas
of them.
Bets, but
except
he didn't pay all of them off, racked up more, right. And then owed them even more. Yeah. The hedge fund's looking for their cash. Loan Shark's looking for their cash. Yeah,
I heard he's already got a lined up internet radio show ready to go.
From prison.
From prison.
That's first guest.
First guest is going to be Kirk.
From the cell.
It's the only way to get him back on the air.
Patriots injury report.
You use that as a resume.
Patriots injury report. Gronk was a limited participant. Sony Mitchell, limited participant. Ooh. Shaq Mason, the same thing. So that's not bad, right? Trent Brown, illness, did not participate.
Trent Brown, big. He big.
No, it's not bad. It's
an illness.
It's Wednesday. If you got an illness Wednesday by the end of the week, you're okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
What about Jacob Hollister? Emmy.
Yeah, it's the Hollister clan.
Okay.
When's he play?
That's a long hamstring. How long has that been going on
Me
now?
Too.
How many weeks now is that hamstring?
I don't know. Has he only played one game this year?
And he caught one pass, too, in that game.
Yeah, I think that's it.
They're not getting anything.
What about Gronk? What are you doing with Gronk? I mean,
can we just keep playing that?
I don't feel like take nap if you don't love
me.
When's he coming back? Is anybody talking about coming
back? Should be back soon, right?
When's he coming back?
Any special heels for Christmas?
No.
Right,
should be back.
Can we take
by
like
now
a bet, like who's on the radio first?
Carton or Kirk?
Carton or Kirk? That's actually a pretty good bet. They do some cool things in prison now. He's not like he's going to like some tough prison, right?
He's going to that West Virginia jail.
Yeah, they're
going to
send him to a blue collar. Like they'll have like games and like different clubs. And he can be part of the radio club.
Not board like where Whitey went?
Yeah.
It's
going to be, there's no hard labor.
They'll play it over the radio, the speakers, and the cell.
Yes, exactly.
And just give the guys like an hour of sports talk.
Yeah, it's
hey, Craig,
be like,
you really know Boomer, man? That's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be like, Good Morning Vietnam.
Sure.
But, with the Robin Williams.
He'll have special guests.
Yes.
There might be some sports figures in the jail.
The weather is rainy,
bring them
but
in.
It's always sunny when we're here talking sports.
Ask him to do some Francesa impressions.
Yes. I think that's going to be perfect.
Entertain the boys. Come on,
Sporty R. McKenzie here, and I love you.
We should do that. We should call Kirk. Have him on as a guest.
That's actually a great
idea.
We could do that.
I'll book him.
Text Kirk. Hey, see if you come on tomorrow.
Book him. Book him for Friday.
Just get him on.
Get him on Friday.
That's a great idea.
Why don't we just, you know what I'm
going to
do?
5 o'clock.
I'm going to prank him.
You're
I know he's not
Kirk
listening. He would never know that I'd be doing this. No. Maybe I'll just call him and be like, hello, are your dry cleaning is done?
But
hello,
we can have him as a guest, can't we? Just as a call-in?
Right. Nobody's told us we could. McKenzie. Right?
Yeah, we can have him as a guest.
Why don't we do it quickly before they do
rebels. We're rebels. Don't you? Make sure you lock the door so no one can stop us from doing it.
Lock that door.
Shoot
him a text.
By the way, you already stole Kirk's.
Pirated radio.
You hear about the dentist who married the manicurist? They fought tooth and nail.
You already stole his joke already.
Yeah,
that's why I'm saying
he'll
it.
He'll still be back.
I feel
on
like he's like Voldemort. We're not allowed to say his name. Or the man we cannot speak his name. it's like what is this freaking J.K. Rowling book part number 6? Is it too early for best of?
You know what they're going to do with Kirk because we're moving.
I have no idea what the hell they're going
to
do.
We're moving in a couple weeks.
I'd like to hear him on the morning show.
So they'll move us here in a couple weeks, right? And they'll tell Kirk, okay, they'll call him up and say, Joey will call him up and say, okay, Kirk, you can come back tomorrow morning. It's you, Jerry, and Tomasi. He'll come back here to the old place. They won't tell him.
Just set him up.
Right now.
I feel like that's a great idea.
Right.
So like, get him on as a guest. Like, I'm gonna prank him.
That's what I'm saying.
Why don't we do this?
I mean, he'll answer.
Hey,
right?
Ryan, let's get him on as Trenny.
Here we go. We'll interview Trenny. She can break down a game.
Right. Well, if Trenny break down the game,
I can't believe Dick from Upton never calls
on Friday.
This show. I mean, this would be
we
right.
Could,
at
we
his
could
speed.
Use a good call from Dick and Upton.
Call from Dick and Upton. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
we'll reach out to him.
Let's do this. Let's get him on his training on Friday because those guys in the morning apparently they don't care about him.
They don't. You know, we're trying to find out ways to bring him back.
He's trying to take his job.
See, you know, Mutt really doesn't want him to come back. Mutt wants that job for himself.
Yeah,
Mutt you know, secretly like, yeah, come back, whatever. We're waiting for you.
Now that he knows the definition of leverage,
now he's got it.
Yeah, now he's thinking, hey,
he doesn't want to lose it.
If he has surgery, that'll affect his barnstorming tour in the offseason.
I love Dick.
See, if I was him, I'd be calling it every single show. I mean, what is he doing during the day? Call in. Be a, you know, whoever.
That's a good point. He should call with a different voice.
Is this Kirk? No, it's not Kirk Minahan.
Watching the Red Sox since 1938. Mel Parnell would not have stood for this today.
I mean, it's perfect. The old guy,
we'll get him on.
Young guy, guy from the Valley,
female guy
from the South,
the female
girl. It doesn't matter.
Trenny. Perfect.
Got a list of,
who would know the difference, whether it's Kirk or Trenny?
I think.
You think management here would be able to figure it
out?
They would think it's Trenny.
Best follows on Twitter.
Yeah.
Is that fake Trenny?
Fake Trenny.
Oh, it is hysterical.
Props to Lou, though.
Because I read it in that voice when I read it. It's great.
Yeah, we need to have most of the time when I'm responding to Little Earl over here, I usually try in my head, I'm tweeting in his voice. We need some sort of something. Like maybe I'll put it in all caps, and that means in Ordway voice.
Because
I don't want to say Ordway.
All due respect, buddy.
Hold on.
Gets called overweight. The shoe fits.
They're coming after you.
How about those hips? Come on. We need Kirk back just to do my impression because nobody else does it.
You're kind of ugly.
I think I do a pretty good Glenn Ordway.
No, you don't.
Pretty good. I think everybody has their own version of Glenn, right. And they all suck.
Well, we just found out.
This bullpen scares me.
Trenny is on with us on Friday. That's the worst. He does the worst, doesn't he?
Every
impression he does
does
is
it in his own voice.
I'm
a President Bush.
Here's Trenny, Elizabeth.
Trenny tweeted out the 2018. Do it like Glenn, female Glenn.
No, dude. Well, but
that man, the White House.
All right, we're doing it.
I voted for this. Why?
We're doing it. Wink, wink, fake Trenny.
Of course I voted for that.
Friday.
Can you guess who I voted for? Here's a hat. She's a tall fry like Matt. Her name is Liz Why.
See? You know, it's like his name lives on. Wait, he's not dead, right?
No,
he is alive.
He's still alive.
Right?
Yeah, he's still alive. He's fine.
Right. No, he's good.
He's fine.
Everything's good. You're getting back.
Friday. Trenny.
Friday. Fake we're going to call him on Friday. Yeah. Let's just call and see if he'll answer.
Why don't you do this?
No, call? We're going to call during the show. We're going to call him during the show.
Do a prank call.
Yes!
I'm going to do a prank call. On Friday.
I will.
We'll do that. All right. We got another hour to go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.